Everybody else, Psalm 119. We're going to stay here in this chapter for a few weeks, so I hope you don't get weary of that. Find that chapter, Psalm 119, in your Bible. And go over to verse number 98. We'll be there in just a few minutes. So that's Psalm 119 and verse number 98. I'm excited about the topic of this message, this study tonight. I like the topic of it immensely. And so we'll get into this in a second. Let's ask the Lord's blessing, all right, on the lesson. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help my mind to be clear now as we go through these thoughts and truths from your book. And I pray, God, that your Spirit will do a work that only he can do. Words are just words unless they're spoken in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And then they can change your life, especially if they're anchored in the truth of your word. So I lean on you tonight and I ask God for your help. And I ask that you give us a desire to learn your book. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and amen. So God's word is true. It's trustworthy. It's unchanging. And God's word is pure. We looked at that, and it's because God is righteous. The source of the words makes the words what they are. So that little saying, consider the source, is never any more important than when examining the Bible. Now, this chapter also reveals to us, remember we're calling this God's Word about His Word. So this chapter reveals to us what God's Word can do for us if we will allow the Spirit of God to use it as His sword. That's what Ephesians 6:17 tells us, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the Spirit of God, working with and through the Word of God, does several things for the child of God. And this chapter points out some things that the Bible does for us. And this is what I'm excited about from the lesson, from the Bible tonight in this lesson. And what I'm going to talk about this evening is the fact that God's Word provides spiritual counsel. Provides spiritual counsel. Wisdom, understanding, advice for life. Now look with me at verse number 98. Notice what the psalmist said here, okay? By the way, let's read verse 97. It's a great verse. And I think it might be one of our memory verses coming down the pike here. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And remember, that's the goal in my heart for this year, is that when we reach December 31st, 2023, every one of us will have an increased love for the Word of God. Look at verse number 98. Though thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Now here we have a testimony from the psalmist as to the counsel the Word of God has given him. He sat at the feet of the Word of God, and the Spirit of God used it to provide wisdom and understanding for him in life. In verse number 98, he said he had more wisdom than his enemies. In verse 99, he had more understanding than his teachers. And in verse 100, more understanding than those who have gone before him. Now, the thing that I want to point out is that the Word of God gave the psalmist wisdom and understanding. The Word of God gave him great counsel. This is not the only place in this chapter where God talks about that. In verse number 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. You know that book, that verse in the book of Proverbs, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And I wonder really, you know, we use that for, we need counselors and like a cabinet of counselors in our life. But I wonder there if that's not a reference to all the many books in this Bible right here. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And the Word of God gave this man great counsel. It was his counsel and his guide. Now, these verses do not mean that teachers and those who've lived before us in the past are not able to give us wisdom and give understanding to others. You know better than that. God has placed teachers in the church, made that very clear in the book of Ephesians. In fact, the book of Hebrews admonishes people who haven't grown in knowledge enough to become teachers to do so. Because he says, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. So he said, the honest truth of the matter is, you know, you ought to grow to the place where wisdom and understanding, where you could teach the Bible. So what I am not taking from this passage is that a person does not need teachers and doesn't need others to help them grow in understanding and wisdom. What I am taking from these verses is that the Word of God can be learned and understood by any person who desires to know it. Any person. And if a person is not taught truth, if a person has teachers who neglect to pass on the principles and the truths of God's Word, they can still learn and understand the Word of God. Because here it is, church, the Word of God is sufficient in and of itself, especially with the Holy Spirit. It's sufficient in and of itself. In no way, shape, or form am I suggesting that we don't need teachers. I don't think this verse is saying this. In no way, shape, or form is this verse saying that we don't need to learn from the ancients, those who've gone before us. What it is saying here is that anybody who desires to know and get counsel and wisdom from God's Word can do so. And if you lack the opportunity to get it from another person, the Word of God is sufficient in and of itself. I like 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, you know the verse, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, here's what we don't often quote. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, I love that. Thoroughly furnished. You know what the words mean? They mean to equip fully. To equip fully. Now, when our country sends men off to fight in battle, to fight a war, they spare no cost to equip them fully. And you look at the technical advancements that in our day provide really superior equipment. And those advancements that provide that equipment, that enables our soldiers, our pilots, our sailors to engage in battle with confidence. They're trained and they're equipped. They're thoroughly furnished to engage the enemy. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. So, in Timothy, the Word of God trains and equips a soldier in the Lord's army. And it is possible for every child of God to be thoroughly furnished, equipped fully to accomplish whatever work God has planned for your life. Whatever work God has planned for you. And if somebody gets saved and makes the Word of God their delight, it is possible for them to become thoroughly furnished, equipped fully for the Christian life, even if they don't have faithful teachers or access to wisdom from those who've lived in the past, who are older in the Lord. Everybody, nobody has excuse. This book is in and of itself sufficient. It is sufficient. The pastor that was here Sunday night, Brother Shelley, and I won't go into his whole story, but I mentioned that he is what he is today. He was in a denomination that not a Bible believing denomination. And he started reading the Bible and he started studying it. He had no teacher. He wasn't reading any books. And he is what he is has become today because this book in and of itself, through the work of the Holy Spirit, is sufficient to fully equip every child of God. And that's you teenagers. And you know, if you think, boy, I hope we get on another subject sometime besides the Bible. Well, I don't know. I don't know when that's going to happen this year. Because really, even if you come from a godly family, the thing that you've got going for you more than anything else is that book right there. Take or Swim. It's in this book. And it has the potential, the power, the counsel, the wisdom, the advice to equip you fully. Okay? Now, I want you to notice from these verses the reasons the psalmist gives as to why the Word of God alone is sufficient. Number one, in verse 98, the Word of God was always with him. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. God's commandments are ever with him. Now, if he only received wisdom from others outside of the Word of God, what happens to him when he can't reach others? What happens to him when others are unavailable? What happens to him when his access to others is limited? He falls apart? No. Look, people will not always be with us, but God's Word can always be with us. And God's commandments and God's precepts and God's statutes, they can be accessed if we have become familiar with Bible truth. And who knows, maybe the psalmist faced a situation that called for wisdom. And at that particular time, no living, breathing person was available to talk to. But because he knew God's commandments, wisdom was available. Because I'm going to say it over and over again tonight, this book is sufficient in and of itself. In and of itself. Now, we have a Bible example of this. Daniel and his buddies are over there in Babylon. And, you know, we read the Bible like it's a fairy tale, but they are facing a critical, real-life moment. They have to not only interpret the dream, they have to come up with the man's dream. Or they're going to die. That's all they're going to do. Okay? And here comes in chapter 1, here comes the wine, and here comes the king's meat and all that. And in chapter 2, they're going to have this drink. They cannot reach out to any of the ancients or their teachers for advice. There's no FaceTime to contact a rabbi back in Jerusalem. There's no WhatsApp to reach out to a parent for help. No. And there's nothing wrong with FaceTiming a family member when you need help. There's nothing wrong with reaching out through technology and getting some advice from others who are available. But others were not available. They didn't need others because they had learned the truth of God's Word. God's commandments were with them. Who do you think they talked to in Babylon? All the others that came with them from Judah, they weren't the only ones that came from Jerusalem. The Bible says there was among them. There was a bunch that came from Judah and came from other nations. So you got four boys. Who are they talking to? Everybody else is drinking the king's wine, eating the king's meat, and bowing down in chapter 3. Who are they going to talk to? They don't have anybody to talk to. But guess what? They had the Word of God with them, in their hearts, in their minds. And guess what? Amazing. God's commandments were enough. And they were the wiser for knowing this book, what they had been taught from this book. You know, for a child of God to neglect to learn the Bible is like one of our soldiers going on a mission on a foreign field in war. Maybe a night mission. He doesn't take his helmet. He leaves his Kevlar vest in the barracks. He doesn't take his radio. He doesn't take his boots. He doesn't take his rifle. He takes no ammunition. He takes no extra magazines. And he leaves his night vision goggles back in the barracks. He stands in harm's way, and he has neglected to take all the furnishings that were provided for him. The children of God neglect to learn the Word of God, and when in harm's way and needing wisdom, they don't have it. That's why you need to pay attention to this book. You need to learn this book because it is sufficient in and of itself. And when you're in a time of crisis and you can't reach anybody, there's enough truth and wisdom and counsel in this book to get you through it. Like the boys in Babylon, okay? So the Word of God was always with him. The second thing we learned, verse number 99, the Word of God was on his mind. It was on his mind. Now, look at verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Now, we understand the concept of meditation. It's thinking over a truth, pondering it, ruminating over a truth, like a cow ruminates over its food. But it goes further than that. It means conversing with oneself, even to a point of talking to yourself. And even if necessary, talking to yourself out loud. Now, I know what people would think, but does it really care? Do you really care? You know, do you know how much trouble we could avoid in life if we would ponder, think over, and talk to ourselves about the truth of God's word? And if necessary, talk out loud to ourselves. There are times when it helps to talk out loud, even to yourself. You say, I believe the devil cannot read my mind. He's not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. Only God is omniscient. Only God is all-knowing. So he can't read my mind, but he can sure hear what we say. He's the prince of the power of the air. And when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he didn't just meditate on the scripture by running it through his mind. He quoted scripture out loud to the devil. It's obviously on his mind, obviously in his thoughts during the moment of temptation. But he didn't stop there. He spoke out loud to the devil and overcame the temptation through speaking out loud the truth of God's word. The same is true about Joseph in Egypt. He faces a real moment in time when he is tempted by Potiphar's wife. A real moment in time. He can't reach his dad. His brothers are not around. There's no one there to lean on for encouragement to do right. If all he does is think to himself, you know, this is probably not right. I'm not sure that would have been enough, folks. Because that was a severe temptation. But when he considered God's testimonies, and he made that clear by saying it out loud, he passed through the moment unscathed. You say, how do you know it was God's testimonies that were on his mind? Because of what he said to her in Genesis 39:9. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept, he, Potiphar, your husband, kept him. Pardon me. Kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He said it out loud. People, do you understand? The devil cannot stand up to this book. It sends him running. And, you know, our cute little things and our cute little this and our cute little that doesn't get the job done sometimes. We need to talk, speak out loud. You've heard me say before, I've mentioned before about being in real-time situations where I was tempted to think on things that were not right. I'm tempted like any other man's tempted. You drive over here on Interstate 80 going east, there's enough pornography on the billboards over there to mess you up. Unless you don't want to be messed up. And what are you going to do? Say to yourself, I can't think about that. You think that'll do it? Think that'll do it? Yeah, driving the car, saying out loud, God, help me not to think on those things. Help me to think on things that are pure and lovely and of good report. And guess what? The temptation goes away. Temptation goes away. So the word of God was with him. The word of God was on his mind. And folks, that's why it's very good for us to be committing scripture to memory. And when there are times of temptation, when our enemies come against us, the world, the flesh, and the devil, if it can be on our mind and not stop there, if we're thinking on it, I mean, even talking out loud, the word, saying the word of God out loud, you find yourself in a situation where it's just, and the temptation is strong, start quoting scripture. What else have you got to fight with? You know, what's a soldier going to do if he leaves all of his equipment back in the barracks? He doesn't have much to fight with. You know, I remember that bear hunt I went on. I hadn't mentioned it for a long time. And that bear came in and went to the barrel. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, they tell us when he gets in the barrel, he starts eating and he starts, you know, settling in. It's a good time to shoot him if you got a shot. So I started reaching for my bow, but he jerked out of that barrel. I mean, looked straight up at me. I'm only 12 feet off the ground, only 12 feet. He got this stuff, you know, starts popping his jaws like this. And he got it and he walked right over to the place where I was sitting, right there. I'm sitting there. He's right here. looking up at me. My bow is hanging in the tree. My shotgun is in the corner of the stand. And my machete is on the floor of the stand. I'm Rambo in the woods, but I got nothing in my hand. Nothing. And he's, what am I going to do? Hit him with my, I thought, well, if he comes up, you ever seen a video of how fast a bear can go up a tree? Yeah, I just have to kick him in the nose if I can. But I'm not sure. He'd have to be a good shot, not miss. Make him angry. And look, well, I shouldn't think about this. I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't think about this. You really think that's enough? To overcome the temptation of Satan? Overcome the temptation that's in your flesh sometimes? No. I mean, by the way, it applies to everything. If you have a problem with laziness, you fight that with the Word of God. That's how you fight it. You got a problem with other things that are wrong? That this is the weapon. Okay, this is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So it's got to be in our minds. That's what he said. He said, I have more understanding than all my teachers for thy testimonies or my meditation. I don't have to have a teacher nearby when I'm in a moment of temptation because I've got the Word of God on my mind. And if I have to, I'm going to do more than just run it through. I'm going to bring it up and speak it. Speak it. And the spoken Word of God has power. Unbelievable power, okay? Number three. The Word of God was carried out in his life. Look at verse number 100. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. So, the Word of God was always with him. The Word of God was on his mind. And number three, the Word of God was carried out in his life. He kept God's precepts. He obeyed the Word of God. If we're concerned about magnifying the Word of God in our life, there's no way to do that without obeying it. As I said on Sunday, the culmination of believing and knowing the Bible is obeying the Bible. It's not enough to believe, okay, this is God's Word. It's not enough to know portions of the Scripture. It's got to be carried out in our lives. Culmination. What's the culmination? It's the final stage. It's the final point. So if God's Word is not carried out in my life through obedience, then the advantages of believing it and knowing it, what good is that going to do? It's got to be carried out. What good does it do for the soldier to be trained and fully equipped and have all the tools with him, know how to use them, and yet in the real time of battle, he just stands there? That's not very smart. And child of God, with enemies all around us, and I'm not talking about physical enemies, I'm talking about the world, I'm talking about the flesh, I'm talking about the devil attacking us. I don't know of anything more important right now in life for you young people. I'm going to keep saying it and keep saying it and keep saying it and keep saying it and keep saying it. Is you need to believe that you have the Word of God in your hand, and you need to work at knowing it. And then above all, you need to obey it. And that's not just for young people. That's for everybody. Carry it out in your life. God's Word provides spiritual counsel because it's always with us. It provides spiritual advice and understanding if it's on our minds. And it works if we take it and use it in obedience. This book is sufficient in and of itself. And if you got a teacher that helps you, praise God. And you get your hands on a book written by a man that helps you, amen. But when you can't get to that, this can always be with you. And especially if you commit it to memory. Remember passages. Remember stories. Remember things that take place in the Word of God. And then obey it in life. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll take this. I was excited about this truth. Your book is sufficient. It's sufficient. And I'm so thankful that it is. And I'm glad for teachers that have helped me. I'm glad for books written by men that I've read that have been a great, great source of encouragement and challenge to my heart. But Lord, I'm really thankful that your book is sufficient in and of itself. The Word of God, with the Spirit of God, using it in our life, we can get the wisdom and the counsel and the understanding that we need to be equipped fully, truly furnished, to live whatever life you have planned for us. It's on us if we miss it. It's on us. Help us not to miss it. I pray in Jesus' name. All right, heads are bowed, just a quick meditation.